Hello, I would like to talk about the imperative tense in Spanish, and I would like to give you some examples of some ludic activities in order to practice this tense, because I guess you will know this is a very, let's say, dual tense, because it's a lot of things. Well, it has a lot of forms to learn by heart, as it has affirmative, negative, regular, and irregular. So I think those three activities may help the students to interiorize and be familiar with those tenses. So if you go to slide number two, here what you'll see is this is the previous knowledge I think students must have. So, as I said, regular and irregular affirmative tense, they have to know it. They have to also know the regular and irregular negative tense. And obviously, the main uses of the tense. So, the main uses would be commands, for example, close the door, go to the shop, give me that book. Then, instructions, that could be, for example, for a cooking recipe. I don't know, put more salt, cook this in the oven, etc. It could also be a machine, let's say a kettle, a coffee machine, where you plug this, set the timing, etc. And it also could be in directions in the street. Go straight ahead, turn left, etc. And then the last one is the advices. Go to the doctor, take paracetamol. So, as you can see, those three are the main uses of this tense that is not used in English. Well, it is used, but it's not different from the present tense. So, this is a particularly difficult issue for the students, and that's why I think those three activities may help them to understand a little bit more the use of the imperative. So this, as I said, is the previous knowledge. If you go to slide number three, this is what they will acquire, or what the students will or may acquire with these activities. So obviously, practice the conjugation and regular and irregular affirmative and negative form. So by means of repetition, they will interiorize a little bit more the form. Obviously, to understand when to use it, because as I said, in English is not as clear as it is in Spanish, and thanks to that, to understand when to use it, they may be able to use it when appropriate. So it is in real life situations they can use it spontaneously. So this is what the students should acquire with those activities. So if we start with the first one, if you go to slide number four, here you have the first activity for commands. So as you can see here, you have a lot of sentences. What I do is I write one sentence in a card. So I have 10 or 15 cards, and I give one of them to a student. The student has to read it. So obviously the student asks me if there's any word that he doesn't understand, and then what he has to do is to give that command to another student of the class. So he has to say the name, let's say John, and then he has to, as you can see here, the verb is in infinitive. He has to conjugate the verb in the appropriate imperative form. So the thing is, if the student says the verb correct, in the correct way, the student named has to perform the command. If the student doesn't say the tense in the correct form, it's him who has to perform the command. As you can see here, we have very different commands, but all of them can be easily done in the classroom. So, like, for example, climb to the door and shout your name, sing your favorite song. And I have to say that this is a very good exercise in terms of motivation, because it creates bonds between students and helps them to overcome the student anxiety of speaking another language, because all of them are laughing, because all of them are a little bit scared of having to perform a command. And there is also a second part of this activity where the students can create commands themselves. So I give them some minutes, and in groups, they have to think about three different commands for other people in the class. Obviously, they have to be done inside the classroom, so it can't be something very difficult. And with the second activity, is them who have the control of the learning process, because it's them who who creates, who invents these activities. As you can see in this one, in this activity, there's only affirmative, regular and irregular, but there's only the affirmative use of the imperative, because as you can imagine, to give immediate commands is quite difficult to give them in negative. But they can, if you want, they can also create some negative orders, sorry, some negative commands for the other students. So this is the first activity. And then if you go to slide number 5, you have here an example of advices. This is, as you can see, consultorio, consejos y soluciones. It's like a problem page. And I've been using this in the discussion board in our virtual learning environment, which is Blackboard. But as you can see, you can use it as a radio program where a student calls who has a problem, and then the person who works in the radio can give him some advices for that problem. But as you can see here, every student has to write down one problem. What I did is that it was compulsory to write down one problem and also give advice to at least one problem of their classmates. And obviously, with those advices, they had compulsory, they had to use the imperative tense to give those advices. I have to say that this was a very fun way to use the imperative for advices, because the problems invented lead to really crazy advices that were very funny and created a lot of motivation. And it's also a perfect activity, as I said before, in terms of freedom of choice. They are in control of what they learn, they say what they want to say. But obviously, the activities were also corrected, and I also give them feedback. So even if it's them who chooses what they learn, they are at the end, they are controlled by me. So this is the second activity for advices. And then if you go to number 6, slide number 6, you have here the activity for the instructions. In this case, as I said before, you can use for cooking recipe or machines. But in this case, I used to practice. I choose to practice directions on the street. So what you have here is a treasure hunt around Barcelona. What I usually do is I divide students into groups, and every group has a paper with all the instructions and a map of Barcelona where all the touristic attractions are highlighted. Especially for not all of them have been in Barcelona, so all the touristic attractions are highlighted, and even if they are, it's not that easy. You can find those maps for free in any of the touristic information points in Barcelona, and you can also easily find a suitable one online if you want to do this activity. So with the map and the instructions given, students are in groups, and it's going to be a a competition between them. What they have to do is to find out the location of every number, looking at the instructions and at the map. So if you read the instructions, as you can see, number one, where it starts, it says that you should go to a place with a lot of ships and a man who looks at the sea. As you can see, this is the statue of Columbus that is in front of the sea. Then from there they have to start number two, and every number is related with the previous number. And this is done in purpose, because I didn't want them to think, well, number two is very difficult, let's go to number three, I don't understand, let's go to number four. No, every number is related, so it's going to be easier if you know where you were in number three to go to number four, because as you can see, I used verbs like continue, go a little bit north, go a little bit east. So it's easier if you know the previous number. So as I said, number one is the statue of Columbus. Number two is the zoo in Ciutadella. Number three is the Arc de Triomphe. Number four is the Monumental, the bullring. Number five is Sagrada Familia. Number six is Casa Batlló, from Gaudí, of Gaudí. And number seven is the Tibidabo. Number eight is the Barça Stadium, Camp Nou. Number nine is the Parc Güell. Number 10 is Las Ramblas. Number 11 is the Liceu. Number 12 is the Plaza Catalunya. And number 13 is the airport, where is the end of the treasure hunt, because you have to go back to your country. So, this is obviously a very good activity in terms of repetition of regular and irregular verbs. Obviously, the regular verbs are the most problematic issue. And as you can see here, they are already conjugated. They don't have to do it, because I thought that it was going to be too much for the students to find the place and also complete the gap with the appropriate tense. But there is, once the activity is finished, there is another option, that is that the students can create a treasure hunt of their own. Obviously, a shorter version, but they can create a treasure hunt of the city they are living in. So it's them who have to think about which verbs to use and which form to use, if they are regular or irregular. So in this case, they can also, as I said, they can also choose and be in control of their learning process. As I said, this activity is done in groups. I think there are many ways to do it, but what I usually do, I always have two different ways to do it. It could be, for example, that the fastest group finding the places are the group that is the group that wins, or you can set a specific time, and when it is finished, the group that has the most correct answers is the one that wins. As I said, this is a good activity for repetition. It is also very motivating. This healthy competition motivates the students a lot. And there is also something else that they learn with this activity, that is, it is a lot of culture. Because as they are looking to the maps, and as we are correcting the names of every place, you can always explain a little bit more of Gaudí's architecture, or I don't know, about Barça, or about the bullfighting that is now forbidden in Barcelona, etc. And you can do this treasure hunt, obviously, in any other cities in Spain or Latin America. So, these are the three activities I am presenting to you today. And if you go to slide number seven, what you will find here are just some final reflections that I have talked about them a little bit. Here you will have the timing. I just write down between 40 and 60 minutes, depending if you just do the activity, or as I said, you can do a second part. For example, as I said before, with the commands, you can also make the students create their own cards with their own commands for other students. There is also the advices, where you can do it in an oral practice, where students call the radio. And then the instructions, as I said, they can make their treasure hunt of their own. So it depends on what you use. You will use 40 or 60 minutes, depending on what you want to work. So they are also, these activities are also easy to adapt. Obviously, the advices is the students who adapt it, because it's them who write the problems and write the advices. So they obviously adapt it to their own level. But with commands and instructions, as you can see, are very adaptable, let's say, because the vocabulary used is very simple, and verbs are regular and irregular, but are also very simple. Obviously, the practice of tenses, they practice the regular and regular affirmative and negative by repetition or by creating a new one, obviously. Then the freedom of choice, that is also very important, as I said, in the three activities, is them who choose what they want to say. So they learn the vocabulary and the structures they are interested in. There's also the use of all the skills and interactions. As you can see, the students have to listen to each other in order, for example, to perform the commands. So they use the oral skills. They also use the oral. They have to talk all the time with the other students, and they have to interact with their classmates. In written, they have to write the treasure hunt, the advices, new commands, and reading skills. When they have the instructions and when they have the advices, they have to read it before they give some advice. They have to read the problems, and the commands. Obviously, they have to read the orders they have. And interactions. These activities use all the interactions. You can do them individually. For example, commands at the beginning, they have to read and give the appropriate conjugation tense. Individually, you can do it in pairs. Advices, for example, you can do that in pairs. You can do that in groups, instructions, for example. So you can use all the interactions. Obviously, as I said before, those activities, because they are fun and they are ludic, they help a lot students to overcome this anxiety. They always laugh because they feel a little bit embarrassed. They always start talking with their classmates because they feel that those activities are not the what they are used to do. So it is a very, very good way to overcome this anxiety and this embarrassment. And as I said before, they control their own learning process, because it's them who choose what they want to learn. So this is it. I hope these activities will help you a little bit. Thank you very much for listening.